The Economics of the Arab Spring.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will make a major speech on the Middle East today, just a day after imposing sanctions on the leaders of Syria. Hundreds of Syrians have been killed in a violent crackdown on the uprising in that country. Today, President Obama will focus on U.S. interests in the Middle East and economic help the U.S. can provide to encourage democratic change. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
President Obama will say the Arab Spring is an opportunity to encourage free market economies in the Mideast. The president will propose erasing debts owed the U.S. and increasing reconstruction grants and loan guarantees. Tariq Youssef, the dean of Dubai School of Government, says that's a good investment.
The amounts of funds we're talking about, in my view, are minimal relative to what we could gain in terms of a prosperity and a security and a stability dividend over the long term.
Stronger Arab economies will create customers for U.S. exports, he says. But so far, Western aid to the Mideast has done little to create free markets, says Rutgers professor Toby Jones.
Well, we know that modernization and development aid has not in the past produced democratic outcomes. I mean, it hasn't worked in Egypt, and it certainly hasn't worked elsewhere.
As the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan wind down, Jones recommends using U.S. money instead to create more jobs in Arab countries. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, as states around the country grapple with huge budget deficits, many are looking to their pension funds for cash. This week, the board of California's pension fund voted to make employees put more money toward their retirement and cut contributions from the state. New York's governor, meanwhile, reportedly wants to slash benefits for future workers to save almost $100 billion over the next 30 years. For more on all this, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy.
So how much trouble are these pension funds actually in?
Some state and local governments are in real trouble. You look at Illinois, and boy, that unfunded pension liability is a disgrace. It is a crisis. But you take a step back, you look nationwide, you say, look, we have a long-term funding problem. We need to put more money into these pensions. It's not a crisis. It's a problem that needs to be dealt with.
And should the existing workers and retirees that work for states be concerned that the state will go after their benefits that they've already been promised?
Well, to the extent that the states can, they're going to. It's very hard to change promised benefits for existing workers. Now, in some states you can, and there's some very clever lawyers, very high-priced lawyers that have come up with ways to modify consumer price index adjustments and things like that. But new workers, they're going to get the brunt of the hit.
They're going to get the brunt of the hit. So what can be done to shore up the finances in the long run?
Well, in the long run, employees are going to contribute more. The employer, state and local governments contribute more. And they're going to have to be more conservative in their forecasts. They've been building in these forecasts saying that we're going to be making 8% on our money. No, you're not. You might be making 4% or 5% of your money. But here's my concern, Jeremy. If the pension benefit is less generous, are you going to attract as good a worker? You know, we were talking about teachers, policemen, firemen.
Right.
Are they going to come in and do these jobs? That's the real concern about this whole discussion.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Dominique Strauss-Kahn has resigned as the head of the International Monetary Fund. He is denying the sexual assault charges against him, however. His resignation throws open a succession battle, and the leading candidate appears to be France's finance minister, Christine Lagarde. And let's do the numbers. Stocks mostly higher this morning across Europe and Asia, with the exception of Tokyo. Stocks there dropped 0.4% today on news that the Japanese economy has fallen back into recession for the third time in a decade. Meanwhile, automaker Chrysler is expected to announce today that it has reached a deal to refinance its debt and pay back $7.5 billion in bailout loans to the U.S. and Canadian governments next week. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 80 points to close at 12,560.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. and by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Katie Couric will anchor the CBS Evening News tonight for the last time. Couric has been making $15 million a year at CBS, but during her almost five-year run as anchor, she hasn't been able to boost the ratings. So why does CBS think Couric's replacement, Scott Pelley, will do any better? Come to think of it, why are the networks still trying to make money with evening news programs? Here's reporter Sally Herships.
News is cheap.
You don't have to pay actors. You don't have to do sets. You don't have to write scripts.
John Greening teaches advertising at Northwestern University in Chicago. Greening says news is much cheaper to produce than a police drama and still attracts big general audiences. Nielsen Ratings says network news pulls in almost 18 million viewers a night, including deep-pocketed aging baby boomers.
It's part of the reason why when you watch network news, you feel like you've taken a trip to your medicine cabinet.
Greening says a big chunk of evening news ads are for medications. Leonard Lodish teaches marketing at Wharton. He says advertisers choose news because they're hoping some of its respectability and trust will rub off on their products.
The environment that someone sees an ad in can influence their response to the ad.
Greening says even though ratings may be down, ad rates are not. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to a major recall going on at the superstore chain Meijer, it is calling back a 12-piece tea light candle set. The candles come in different colors and scents, including Snappy Spice, Sunny Tuscany, and Sweet Love. Those names are not the reason for the recall. The reason for the recall is the candles pose a fire hazard. Imagine that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The government learns a lot from natural disasters. It sets up offices to monitor hurricanes and earthquakes, for instance. So what they learned from our most recent financial disaster?
Here's the hazardous forecast for the mortgage markets. For tomorrow, there is a slight risk of increased foreclosures and a possible housing bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdal, monitoring our financial health. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.